This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon. An Israeli military spokesman says ground forces are operating in all of the Gaza Strip, coming face to face with Hamas terrorists and killing them. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has the latest.
Israel says its war with Hamas is back at full strength, with operations on the ground in Gaza and in the air overhead. Israel says it has destroyed 400 terror targets since the ceasefire ended. Hamas continues to fire rockets into Israel. In a televised address, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the ground operation necessary and said war will continue until Israel achieves its goals.
Those goals include securing the release of hostages still held by Hamas. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby spoke about that on CBS.
Even while the negotiations have stopped, we haven't stopped. Our efforts on the National Security Council and all the way up to the president, trying to work hour by hour to see if we can get this pause reinstated and get those hostages out.
The Pentagon says several commercial vehicles have come under attack in the Red Sea. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has details.
In a statement, the Houthi movement said that it attacked what it described as two Israeli ships in the Red Sea, one with a missile and the other with a drone.
U.S. Central Command says it is assessing the situation. Initial reports indicated a U.S. Navy vessel was among the targets, but it now appears that U.S. ship responded to the distress calls in the region. In Queens, New York, Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry says a man killed four members of his own family and then set a fire.
And once the fire was extinguished and we were able to get into the apartment, we found another three victims, all dead. We believe everyone who was dead, the four family members, were all because of stab wounds.
Chief Madry says the suspect was shot and killed by police after he confronted them with a knife. Two of the officers were injured. A suspect has been arrested in connection with the fatal shooting of at least three homeless people in Los Angeles. Mayor Karen Bass says the city is now breathing a sigh of relief.
The individual responsible for these horrific crimes was found, caught, and will now be held accountable.
The victims were shot while they slept. Pope Francis says he's doing much better, thank you. He did skip today's window appearance facing St. Peter's Square for the second Sunday in a row. The Pope is recovering from an acute bronchial infection. Remember Kiss? They are retiring, but at their final concert at Madison Square Garden in New York last night, they announced their avatars will go on tour. So their digital avatars will live on in virtual immortality. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Chasing Business Premier Card.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New research shows more people are dying because of air pollution from coal-fired power plants than once thought. As Mike Mohn reports, environmentalists in Wisconsin hope the study spurs quicker action to curb emissions.
The study, led by experts at a handful of U.S. universities, found that over the past two decades, there were 460,000 premature deaths nationally associated with fine particulate matter sent into the air from coal-fired power plants. That's more than what health and scientific communities had previously thought. Kieran Gallagher with the group Clean Wisconsin says while coal facilities are being phased out, utilities and policymakers should speed up the energy transition.
A lot of wind and solar is being added to the electricity grid every day, which is really exciting to see in Wisconsin, across the Midwest, and it just needs to ramp up faster.
Utilities around the U.S. have announced emissions goals, but some companies contend certain fossil fuels can't be completely put to rest right away because of electricity demands while cleaner sources are added. But Gallagher says the regulatory scene in states like Wisconsin makes it easier for utilities to move the goalposts. She's hopeful stricter standards being weighed by the federal EPA will prompt stronger commitments. Gallagher has analyzed the proposed regulations and says that in Wisconsin, they could result in nearly $50 million in broader health benefits by reducing the impact of respiratory illnesses and cardiovascular disease.
$50 million is a massive benefit for Wisconsinites to see in health benefits from the closed coal plants in our state.
Meanwhile, study authors show that the rate of deaths from coal pollution began to slow as more plants were being shut down. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A chilly Sunday on the way. We'll see cloudy skies through the day, highs in the upper 30s and light north winds. For the overnight, mostly cloudy and upper 20s. More clouds on the way for Monday, highs upper 30s. Currently 35 degrees.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, November 29th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Maybe you're listening on the app, maybe on social media where we stream on some Facebook pages, some Twitter pages, a YouTube page, or you're listening later by podcast. However you got here, we appreciate it. I got a question for you. What is news? I mean, seriously, how much of the news should be what you want to know about, and how much of it should be what someone else thinks you need to know about? Because it's really just that question alone that helps explain a media landscape that is divided up like never before, and therefore it's worthwhile to talk about, you know, what your priorities are in news and what are the priorities that newsrooms set. And we could not have a more clear example than in two different stories coming out of the state capitol. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Let me tell you what else is on tap this morning. Melissa Baldoff will be here later this hour with our climate check. There is a major global climate conference about to get underway. And we'll talk about the central issue there, and that is how big a difference it makes if the Earth's temperature is 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than it was prior to the Industrial Revolution. Little number, big difference. Also, in our second hour, when some legislators decided earlier this year to substantially increase the amount of tax dollars going to private school vouchers, did they really know just how much they were draining away from the public schools within their own legislative districts? Well, someone has run the numbers, and we're going to talk about what it means, share some of the highlights of the damage that's being done, and we'll be joined by State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire as well, who has some thoughts on the way that some of her Republican colleagues have been skimming money away from public schools. We'll get the weatherology forecast next hour from meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. She's got weather updates, of course, all throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk to Todd Alba because it's Wednesday, and that's what we do. Find out what he's doing on his show that you hear weekdays from noon to 2 all across the state of Wisconsin. And while you're listening here, if you have some input that you'd like to share, you can call or text us at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And that's not even our secret email. That's the one everybody gets. Same email for everybody. And if you're watching on Facebook, you can leave a comment underneath our live video feed. And if we see it there, we may put it up on screen and respond to it as well.
6 o'clock temperatures around the state look like this. It is 20 up here on Lake Wissota. Everybody is a good 10, 15 degrees warmer, I put in quotes, than yesterday's single digit and sometimes below zero readings. Hayward's at 14 compared to 1 yesterday at this time. Park Falls is at 17, Wausau 14. Green Bay, it's 21 degrees, La Crosse 22. Wisconsin Rapids 18, Oshkosh 21 degrees, Madison 23, and it's 21 right now in Waukesha, where we find Mr. Greg Bach standing by, spinning the dials and twisting the knobs that make this show come from Lake Wissota down to Waukesha and out to whatever Victrola you happen to be listening to this morning. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning.
Again, got to get one old man reference at some point. Victrola is today's word of the day.
Make sure you throw some water on that wire to make sure the radio works.
No, don't put any waters on wire at all. How are things down there this morning?
It's warm as compared to yesterday. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yesterday was it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt to go outside.
It is mean.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Yep.
And then when you yesterday you said a negative two, I was like,
yeah. Yep. Bad words almost came out.
Yeah.
Two below, three below in Black River Falls yesterday at about this time. Do you, because you're much closer than I am to the Wisconsin State Fair and the legendary cream puffs, are you a cream puff fan when you're at the State Fair? Ooh,
no, I find them to be, and maybe it's because I've been around it for so long and I haven't had a lot of them, but I'm sorry to the listeners. You can email me at pat.kreitlow at iamthegovernor.us.org.
God, how did he guess that?
Yeah. They're not my jam. I know people love them and that's good on you, but they're just not my jam. It's sweet cream on a fluffy thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't jam.
Yeah, I mean it's bread and whipped cream.
Yeah,
when it comes down to it, if the cream puff isn't made just right, I will absolutely acknowledge that other people find it to be this amazing delicacy. And the reason I bring it up is that the newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together for us at Up North News today has an article about whether the best cream puffs in Wisconsin actually come from a small town gas station. In Johnson Creek, there's a place there that apparently people say their cream puffs are extremely popular. And I wouldn't know, because again, it's kind of like croissants would be a good example. Cream puffs are an example. A bagel is another example. When something's supposed to be made a certain way to be authentic, but instead it's not made right and it's just a hunk of bread.
Yeah,
it's just the worst. And a bagel to me would be the best example. If you, it's not a lot of authentic bagel places, bagel joints in Wisconsin. So when I get one, it's great. It's just the right amount of chewiness, mm-hmm. a little crunchy, And other times it's like, no, this is a circular piece of bread. And the same goes for those cream puffs and croissants.
Yeah.
Look how snobby we are this time of the day already.
Hey, we get to have opinions too.
That's right, and that's exactly.
But what I love a good warm croissant that has a little too much butter in the mix. You mm-hmm. bite into it, and you're like, "Oh, this is heaven."
I got friends who have tried to make croissants once or twice.
Yeah,
and look, I'm all in favor. Anybody wants to do cooking or baking, I mean, you go for it. Yeah, go have fun. But boy, that's for all the layers that are involved in a croissant, all the rolling and everything else. That one strikes me as just a little too labor intensive when you can go to a good bakery and get something like that.
I just think, I feel like, if it's going to take me 2 hours to make it, another 20, 25 minutes to bake it, and then I'm going to eat it in 30 to 40 seconds.
Yep. It's not really a good
investment. I'm going to a deli.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Oh, good, good. Now we know that. Well, now that Greg has given away my email address, I want to talk a bit more about the email, quote unquote, controversy. Again, about Governor Tony Evers having an email address with a different alias, a different username. But, it still comes to his office. So I couldn't help but notice that some TV stations around Wisconsin were making a big deal of this yesterday. And here is my question for them. Did you cover about 2 weeks ago when Dan Schaefer at the recombobulation area, when he threw open records requests, discovered that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the reason he wasn't at the special session of the legislature last month was because he had snuck away and was at a resort in Brazil for a conference. Did you mention that story at all? Did you give it any airplay? Were you even aware of it? Or do you just take what was spoon-fed through, you know, other wire services and things like that? If you didn't play that story up, but you're playing up the fact that governors and other politicians have alias email addresses so they can get some work done, you really need some time for self-reflection on what you prioritize and what you want the news to be. Now, as an official old man, I come down squarely on the side of gatekeepers and news. That a journalist, a good journalist, like any other craftsman, like anybody else who cares about their job, in this case, is looking for stories that are important to voters, that are important to citizens, that are important to taxpayers, that are important to parents, and puts those out there. And that's exactly the kind of thing Dan Schaefer was doing with his story about the speaker, the most powerful Republican in the state, the most powerful man in the legislature, abandoning his post. And it would be, look, legislators go to conferences all the time. Say so. Say, hey, I'm not going to be there, Governor. I know you called this special session, but no, there was no word about that coming out. And it took Dan Schaefer to do a little looking around to see that Speaker Voss had actually flown out a couple of days earlier. Meanwhile, all these folks are in the Capitol, primarily parents and daycare providers. They are looking for relief from the legislature. The session gets gaveled in and gaveled to adjournment within seconds. And nobody saw Robin Voss, but nobody, you know, thought, well, he's just ignoring, you know, the governor. No, he's at a resort in Brazil at some conference. That's news. That's something that constituents deserve to know about the leader of the legislature. The fact that a governor has an email alias, as I mentioned yesterday, so did I as a state senator. All the members of the legislature, past governors, have as well. It's not that it's not news at all. It is, however, an illustration that we don't talk enough about how open records requests work. Because people continue to say, well, if the Governor Evers was using the warren.spawn, you know, at wisconsin.gov address, how do we know that, you know, when we did an open records request of the governor, that we got all those emails? Because that's how open records requests work. I mean, you could just as easily ask, how do we know all the other emails from the Governor Evers account weren't handed over? Because it's not handled by the governor. It's not even handled by the governor's staff. Open records requests are handled by a different office, a different entity. I believe it's the Legislative Technical Services Bureau or something like that. And they're the ones who actually would give out, you know, the aliases, the email accounts and everything else. And when they get these requests, they follow them to the letter. They have to. That's their job. But if that's where your priority is, instead of the assembly speaker abandoning constituents and his post, some of these newsrooms better be getting on the phone with Dan Schaefer and saying, hey, come on, talk about that story with us. We'll pause here. We'll have some more unpacking of the news, talk a little Bidenomics as well in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talk about George Harrison coming up later this hour and today's history lesson. First, let's check sports at 6:20 on this Wednesday morning. That would lead us to the Milwaukee Bucks. They were playing last night in Miami. Giannis scored 33 points, Damian Lillard 32, and the Bucks rallied in the fourth quarter to beat the Miami Heat 131-124 on Tuesday night to clinch a home quarterfinal game next week in NBA's first ever in-season tournament. The Bucks won their group with a perfect 4-0 record. It means they will host the New York Knicks next Tuesday for a chance to advance to the Final Four in Las Vegas. But this is all embedded inside the regular season where the games continue to go on. So between now and that Knicks tournament game next week, the Bucks will still have games in Chicago tomorrow and at home against Atlanta on Saturday. So, you know, we're doing a couple of different things at once here. So again, Bucks will be at Chicago tomorrow, 7 o'clock tip off, and you can hear the Bucks on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. I've almost got the grasp on this tournament thing, Greg. It appears to be, because it's like we're holding like a rehearsal for the playoffs. You know, it's one of those, because how many times have we said, if the season ended today, well, this is their way of going, okay, let's pretend the season ended today. Here are the top eight teams. And now let's have them whittle down to four, whittle down to two. Yeah. I still don't know the incentive for the players, you know, if they get, you know, so much prize money that they divvy up. I'm sure the answer's out there. I just haven't seen it. And how much of it is that, and how much of it is just, you know, bragging rights to get to do this?
I mean, I think that, well, so it was great is that Todd Alba had Luke Mathers on the show yesterday, and he explained it very well. It's just, it's another way of just kind of like making the beginning of the season fun, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't care about the beginning of this season. They think it's, you know, it's not going to get good until later next or later in the season, which is early next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are definitely incentives. I think it has to do possibly with All-Star maybe appearances. I'm not super, but I will tell you this: it definitely has something to do with this.
Yeah, without a doubt, which, again, I've never quite understood, because we talk about, oh, all the drama's late in the season. If you miss the playoffs in May, I think it is, if you miss the playoffs by one game, well, a loss in November is the same as a loss in April.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those games is supposed to count, is supposed to matter. But hey, if you need something to, you know, let you know about the stakes, then I guess that's just fine. I know that Dan Schaefer was going to be on one of the programs yesterday. Was he on Ask Goes Wisconsin?
Yeah, he's on. So we have him on every Tuesday at 10:30 for the second half of the first hour.
Okay.
And he was on, and he was talking about what you were discussing.
Well, to give it proper proper framing here, again, Dan's story was, I think, week before last. Great story,
yeah.
But, you know, real. But he'd also had a vacation planned, and so the story breaks, and then he goes on vacation, and he unplugged pretty nicely from what we can tell on his social media. Comes back and sees the way that Wisconsin media is playing up the email story, and he was not happy. He's like, "Wait, I give you this, and you instead, how did he put it here? Here's one. He had several tweets yesterday. What if one of those Warren Spahn emails revealed something like the governor traveling to a tropical location during a special session? That'd really be something, huh? Another one says, we're still paying for the assembly speaker's legal battles over public records relating to the Gableman mess. But yeah, Warren Spahn, sure, that's the story.
Yeah.
Well done, Dan.
If you go back and as we say, you can listen to all these episodes as a podcast. Listen to the first hour of Ask Us Wisconsin from yesterday, the 28th of November. Dan does not hold his frustration back. He is very upset about this because it's a major story. It's at least a major story to look into with regard to Robin Voss. I mean, yeah, right. I mean, as soon as I saw the people reporting the Warren Spahn email, I'm like, this is not going to be a thing. This is not going to be a thing because they're too excited about it and major news didn't break it first.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so Dan's frustration, very warranted in my opinion.
And again, to me, it kind of holds this, in my mind, it is a double standard. And I don't throw that around loosely, but we've almost come to expect in media circles that Republicans behave badly. That Republicans, you know, will do things like, you know, weasel out of a special session to go to a conference. But if a Democrat were to do something even remotely, you know, close to that, it would be a major hullabaloo. Hullabaloo, another old man word. Write that one down, Greg. Let's move on. Bidenomics. I got a quick question for you. Are you aware that the price of gas has fallen for 60 straight days in the country on average? I didn't, because that's definitely not what we're seeing around here. We're seeing strange volatility. I mean, it's $2.99 one day and it's, you know, $3.29, you know, the next day, and then it shrinks back down to $3.09. But if you look at the average price of gas nationwide, it's now fallen for 61 straight days. It's now at $3.25 a gallon, according to AAA. That's down 5 cents from a week ago. It's down 26 cents from a month ago. Average gas prices have fallen every day since the peak on September 18th, according to data from AAA. To that end, the president, Joe Biden, is going to be in Colorado today. He'll be talking up Bidenomics. He'll be talking up what's happening in Colorado at a wind tower manufacturer in Pueblo that recently announced an expansion that the White House said was a direct result of investments made by the Inflation Reduction Act. That's a signature part of his economic agenda as manufacturing jobs continue to ramp up across the country. And where he again continues to try to make the case that there's this disconnect between what people are hearing from media reports who love to amplify people's frustrations versus the actual data on wages and prices and things like that. We have learned recently just how close former Vice President Mike Pence was to actually skipping the January 6th joint session of Congress, the one that was interrupted by that, you know, insurrection where people wanted to hang Mike Pence, that he had actually been thinking about skipping it. And it was Pence's own son, a Marine, who had to remind his dad that he vowed to take an oath to uphold the Constitution as he did, as a Marine. And that's what finally made Mike Pence say, yep, he could do it. But apparently, Iowa Senator Grassley, he was all set, Chuck Grassley, he was all set to preside over this Senate case, counting the electoral votes. And what might have happened had Chuck Grassley been there? Had he recognized the fake elector ballots from Wisconsin, Michigan, and other states? It raises a lot of questions about what Chuck Grassley knew and what other members of Congress might have been part of a plot to steal the 2020 election. We'll pause here, and we'll have this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff next. You're up north.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Israeli military spokesman Eilon Levy says ground forces are fighting Hamas in the entire Gaza Strip.
Following Hamas's regrettable decision to terminate the hostage release pause and resume hostilities, the IDF has resumed targeting Hamas terror targets, striking more than 400 over the weekend, including extensive aerial attacks in the Khan Yunis area.
In Queens, New York, local police chief Jeffrey Madry says a man killed four family members, then confronted police with a knife.
He stabs one officer in the neck, chest area. He strikes the second officer in the head.
One of the officers shot and killed the suspect. At the COP28 climate summit in Dubai, an urgent cry to immediately confront climate change.
It has to happen. This COP has to deliver for the world a real outcome that gives us trust to the system.
Ari Dasgupta heads the World Resources Institute. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks pulled ahead late in the fourth quarter to beat the Atlanta Hawks 132-121. It was the 148th consecutive sold-out game at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks campaign with a season-high 18 points.
Man, it feels good, man. It feels good to get my game going in front of these fans.
Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Really want to give a shout-out to our bench. You know, Bobby came in with a double-double. Cam, season-high 18 points. He was tremendous. I think Bobby in the first half and Cam in the second half, those guys were, you know, terrific.
College hoops, Wisconsin with an upset win over Marquette. Matt LePay with the call.
Point four on the clock. Send it to the backcourt. Kolick picks it up, and the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison.
The final, Wisconsin 75, Marquette 64. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A chilly Sunday on the way. We'll see cloudy skies through the day, highs in the upper 30s and light north winds. For the overnight, mostly cloudy and upper 20s. More clouds on the way for Monday, highs upper 30s. Currently 35 degrees.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're going to talk with journalist Zoe Sullivan in just a moment here and get into the whole notion of data centers and water use. Normally at 7:30, you would hear one Kristen Lierley, and we'd be talking about healthcare or other things that are going on. Kristen is has another commitment for today. Never fear, she will be back with us next week. And in fact, I see even has already left a message on our Facebook page saying, good morning, friends. Thank you for having this important discussion. Well, thank you, Kristen, and look forward to talking to you again early next week. We're talking about data centers in part because of what's happening at the old Foxconn site. It's been 6 years after a much hyped development project that never did look like it was going to come to full fruition, and of course it did not. It has had some limited success, which is fine, but there's still a lot of land that could be put to use, and it's going to be put to use in large part by Microsoft. In fact, village officials in Mount Pleasant approved a new deal on Monday, according to coverage from Wisconsin Public Radio, that would allow Microsoft to purchase more than 1,000 acres that originally had been intended for Foxconn. The project will include at least 4 data centers. Now, these data centers, I mean, we're familiar with them, of course. We're familiar with the cloud, but we sometimes don't appreciate not just how big and important these facilities are, but what it takes to run them. And it was actually Kristen who tipped me off to an episode of a podcast, the title of which was, Will the Internet Suck Us Dry? Data centers tend to land in places with abundant water and power and taxpayer subsidies. Zoe Sullivan was one of the journalists who worked on it and looked at not just the water usage, not just what a data center is, but also how can we be sure that we're getting full transparency at the local government level, so that you know people can make the decision for themselves of whether a data center is right for where they are. Especially not just at, you know, we're next to an abundant, you know, Lake Michigan. There's a lot of data centers in the desert Southwest that have people rather concerned. So let's bring in Zoe now to talk much more about the topic. Zoe Sullivan joining us from the Madison area. Zoe, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me, Pat.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a fascinating episode to listen to. And, you know, again, at the risk of having you repeat far too much of it. But let's start with the basics of, you know, what you learned about we know that data centers are important, but we really don't appreciate what it takes to cool one of these babies.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, to be honest, before I started this piece, I had never thought about what it takes to power the internet. And I think part of that is because we refer to so much, you know, like storing things in the cloud. And, you know, that the idea of the cloud gives it this very ethereal sense. And in reality, the cloud is a data center. And these are facilities, I mean, they range in size, but you know, a data center can use as much energy as 50,000 homes, which is kind of shocking, I think. I mean, for me, when I was starting to report on this, just the scale of the resource use that these facilities have was pretty stunning for me.
And that is because of something called evaporative cooling, that rather than running, you know, air conditioning units, you would bring in water, and then you'd work with the difference in air after you've blown blown that hot air from the data center, you know, and blown that under onto the water as it flows through. There's various types of systems that are out there, but again, it's that necessity for water and for power that makes these things so important. And so I wonder, again, this is just based on your own experience. You're not speaking at large for the whole country, but do you feel like when companies bring these data center proposals to local governments, are there things that taxpayers should be aware of when weighing these kinds of proposals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, part of my experience trying to report on the Microsoft facility in Mount Pleasant was really the lack of transparency and There was a Marketplace Tech podcast earlier this year where a researcher described how companies like Microsoft and Google have said that basically their water use is essentially a trade secret, which makes it extremely difficult for local people to find out how much is actually being used. And there are really two, you know, data centers use water and power, both. In most data centers now, more than 40% of the electricity use actually goes to cooling. And they can either be cooled through water or through air conditioning, basically. So that's where that, you know, that's where those resources come in. But I think, you know, as you were asking, yeah, a huge challenge is, can people just get information? You know, I do reporting for a living. And so I spend time digging into things. Most people don't have that time. You know, they're busy making a living, they're busy taking care of their kids, whatever. And if your elected officials won't disclose what, you know, what the plan is or what the consequences of the plans are, that makes it impossible for people to really understand what the implications of a development are.
I mean, we really are reliant upon and should be more grateful for, you know, local journalists and independent investigative journalists who, you know, like you said, have the time, who know where to start looking for these kinds of resources, especially when you consider, as noted in the Washington Post, that more than 30% of the world's data centers are located in the U.S., and the power required to run all those data centers already accounts for about 2% of the nation's electricity use, 2% of the nation's electricity use. We talk all the time on this program about a changing climate and about the ways that we can essentially run an entire country cleaner, but it is this thirst for knowledge and information that can lead to quite literally a thirst for resources in the area. This is something that is going to have to be paid attention to by local governments, by other planners, places like that. And I can't imagine this will be the last time that you have to ask some tough questions and really have to struggle to find answers on what water use is going to be for these data centers.
Yeah, water and power. I mean, one of the things that was really stunning to me is learning that data centers globally emit more carbon than the airline industry. Just for people to put it in perspective, because I think in general, people understand that flying has a lot of impact on the environment. Well, guess what? You know, Netflix does too now, apparently, right? Which, I mean, I like my Netflix as much as anybody else. It's not that I want to give that up, but I think we do need to ask ourselves questions about what, you know, what is really important to us? What do we need? What do we want to prioritize? We're seeing, you know, AI being introduced in a lot of ways. Like a lot of people have played with ChatGPT, for example. And, you know, AI is incredibly resource intensive. So, you know, just a ChatGPT conversation, you don't think about how much energy that is consuming, you know, how much energy it takes the computer systems to process that, to produce that chat, and how much water it then takes to cool down those systems. Well, these are things we really need to start thinking about.
On top of that, and this is over and above the water use topic, but as we continue to rely on, an information economy and, you know, data centers like these, I mean, they're all targets, essentially. I mean, it wouldn't take much to, cut the power, the water, or otherwise do damage to one of these and, you know, really consider crippling a chunk of the economy, which, again, just makes it that much more imperative to know, you know, from the outset, the parameters of any given data center, what it's going to be, what are its redundancies and things like that. I certainly don't see us going backward in terms of our need for information, you know, server space.
Right. And I mean, one thing to also really keep in mind when, you know, thinking about, well, what happens if the power goes out? Well, data centers have backups. You know, they have to in order to keep functioning. Like, that is essential to their business model. And those backups are basically diesel generators. So you really have to also think about, if the grid were to go out, then these centers are now functioning with diesel, which obviously, you know, has a much bigger carbon impact than your regular power grid, even if that power grid isn't necessarily fully green. So, you know, there are lots of levels of considerations. And I really want to thank, I spoke during this, doing this piece, I had the privilege of speaking with a data center manager in Missouri, and he was incredibly generous with his knowledge. And I wouldn't have, I mean, I read a lot of research papers, et cetera, but speaking with somebody in the industry was tremendously helpful. And I'm really grateful for that.
In terms of when these proposals come in, we often hear, and you used the phrase earlier, you know, trade secrets, that, you know, there's things we can't share with you. It would appear to me, you know, in your role as a journalist, that there may be things that, you know, a potential company coming into town doesn't share publicly, but certainly can't use that as an excuse not to share with town leaders. I mean, do you feel like they're being on the up and up with local leadership as they come into these kinds of situations?
I have no, I mean, I don't, I'm not part of those conversations. I can't sure. comment on that, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't say anything about that. I will say, you know, I did find a DNR permit, and it was clear that, you know, water could be used to cool the Mount Pleasant facilities. I think something to consider is, you know, I think many people are aware that the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake, is basically drying up, and people are probably less aware that there used to be a massive sea in Central Asia, the Aral Sea, which was bigger than Lake Michigan. And now, because of Soviet mismanagement of, you know, diverting water for agriculture and industry, it's a desert. And, you know, we think of Lake Michigan and Lake Superior as enormous, and they are, but we also need to carefully consider how we use that resource.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's all about, you know, whatever information you can have. And I should note as well, you shared a statement that can be, you know, attributed to a Microsoft spokesperson talking about the Mount Pleasant data center, saying that our data center campus investment plans with the Village of Mount Pleasant and Racine County are part of Microsoft's long-term commitment to the local communities in Wisconsin. We look forward to our work there. And that's where I want to emphasize again, this segment is not about casting stones or aspersions, but again, making it known how important it is for local officials to make informed decisions on things like these and learn about, you know, things like water use that may not have occurred to them previously.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Microsoft's president, fun fact, graduated from an Appleton high school. So I suspect that he feels an attachment to the state, like, you know, those of us who live here do, and is, you know, probably trying to bring home some of the business that he is in, which is, you know, I mean, I'm making assumptions, but right. Like, that's lovely. But yes, exactly. I think we do need to have more information and to be able to consider things carefully.
The Things That Go Boom podcast episode is called Will the Internet Suck Us Dry? Zoe Sullivan was a part of the episode that I would highly recommend folks go look up. So thank you so much for the introduction to the topic and for getting to meet you. I appreciate it very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for being here. When we come back, we'll talk to Luke Mathers about what else is happening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can learn more about it by heading over to civicmedia.us. And learning more about Up North News by going to upnorthnewswi.com. Back in just a bit. You're Up North.
I'm dreaming of a street. If they say why, 93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Right. Here we go. Yeah.
You know, you make me feel so good inside. I've always wanted a girl just like you.
I wasn't sure how we were going to mark Michael Jackson's Thriller album for the Luke Matter segment until I realized we have our own pretty young thing. So here's PYT.
Oh, wow.
Luke Matters.
Man, wow. that's the nicest you've ever been introducing me under the air.
Civic Media eye candy. Luke Matters joins us.
Sucking
now.
Up is usually my my realm, but okay, go for
I'm
it.
I'm officially Pat uncomfortable.
Good morning, you see, Pat. We don't have Dr. Lyerly here to help me with that. She's normally the one throwing out, you know, some kind of a flirty comment, and so I'm just happy to take on.
Pat, we have a call this on the phone right now. That's Civic Media HR is on the phone for you.
That's just what the caller ID popped up as, Greg. Yep. You screened that mightily fast.
Well, you know, hey, I'm a professional at my job.
There we go.
He is. He's really good. If you ever consider handing out raises, Luke, put Greg first in line. other reason than the constant sucking up that he does.
I'm really good. You guys are the best I've ever worked with.
There you go.
How are you, Luke? What brings you to Waukesha on this fine morning?
I'm doing well, you know, just trying to get out, working with the Waukesha team this morning. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be appearing on Up North News Radio with you, Mr. Kreitlow, and I could be in studio with Greg here in the Shaw Studios. So WAUK, that's where I'm broadcasting from this morning, and we're having some fun.
Do you know what we need, though, for your next project?
What's that?
And talk about airing
dirty laundry. Yeah, I'm taking notes down, please, to let me know what I need to add to my to-do list.
Because you're so bored down there. You have nothing to do, right?
Yep, exactly.
Let me add one more. Well, tomorrow I'll be down in Madison for a function, and normally I would come down, you know, late Thursday, and I would do the Friday morning show from Madison. But now, of course, we've got a great new local show there, like we do in some of the other Civic Media markets. And I don't know that we don't really have a studio set up yet where you could do a second show from the Madison headquarters. And so I would suggest the office that you and Todd and Terry Bell share seems rather large. I don't suppose you could get the carpenters in there and create a secondary studio just for when I come to town.
For 22 hours from now, let me see what I can do.
Let me take this one, Luke. Pat, I triple dog dare you to put that request into engineering. And then just wait for your car to be on fire tomorrow morning.
No.
A secondary studio in the Madison headquarters was always something that we were trying to do. But then I don't know if you all recall, but we had to kind of jump to the State Street headquarters faster than we anticipated. And therefore, there was no time to build that out. I believe it's on the to-do list, like the wish list. But you're not the first person to put it on there, Pat. But I don't know necessarily how high up on the priority list it currently is with the rest of the ongoing expansion we're doing here.
We gotta take care of some of those primary studios before we take care of secondary studios.
I was going to say, poor James Kelly's working down there in that downtown Chippewa Falls studio that isn't still a studio yet. It looks nice, but you know we still have to wire that baby in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got a few things to do. But I
don't know. Well, engineers inside baseball talk with Luke, Greg, and Pat.
The engineers want to make sure that they could celebrate Thanksgiving and you know Christmas with their family and loved ones. We can't just send them everywhere.
I've said before, and I'm going to say again, I enjoy talking about these internal things here because I am thrilled at the way this place is growing. This place, much like Up North News, when we grew that again from nothing, it is. I find the growing pains to be exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's a nice problem to have. And so, you know, the fact that I get to pick on you in the process is. You know,
if
just
only
a
I could go back
extra.
To school and learn all of the engineering myself, I would be able to be up there in Chippewa Falls with you.
No, you'd just be annoying the actual engineers who are trying to get the work done with your second.
Dang,
I'm just saying, in the hypothetical show question today of going back to school, I could.
You're wiring
could
that
into
220, 221? What is that over there?
We do 220, 230, whatever it takes.
No,
whatever it takes.
In all honesty, if I got to go back to school, it would be for one thing and
no
one
asked
only.
You, Luke.
Well, I was listening, and therefore
I asked the
mic is mine now.
Morning.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm here, so
yes,
I was
reclaiming my time.
It.
Luke says
exactly. It would be for being a brewmaster. I just want to learn how to brew beer, and
of
then,
course you would.
Yep. I just want to go off and brew beers, and I'd be alone and brewing the beers, and it would be great.
You're too.
I should.
You're too chatty. You would want to talk to everyone about it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, one of my best friends down in Madison, that's what he does. He brews all kinds of beer in his basement, loves it, loves talking about it. He refers to himself as my beer Sherpa because I'm not really much of a beer drinker, but he always knows when we go to any bar that's got a long list, and he only goes to bars with long lists of beer, he'll pick out something new for me each time, and I'll be like, how did you know I was going to like that? And, you know, he just knows.
There you go. I tend to be that translator for a lot of friends, too, and mm-hmm. Family members. They're like, I don't know what to pick off of this. My regular is not there. I'm a big fan of the craft beer scene. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right here, Lakefront Brewery. I know. I got like three basic questions I ask people when they're asking about beer so I can just get them what they need. So, because most of my friends don't. They're not like sitting there trying to take in the flavors and find the hints and the aromas and the stuff like that. They're just like, what do I like? I'm like, what do you drink at home? What do you drink out? And what do you hate?
Yeah. Ooh, those are good three questions. See, I like to just dive in when I'm trying a new beer. Kelsey's the sampler. So she'll get like six different samples of beers before she actually decides on one where I'm just like, okay, that's what's in that one. I'll take a pint. And then if I don't like it, I'll finish it, and then I'll try something else.
And then she's absolutely smashed.
She's just had like the sip out of the tasting sample glasses, and that's all she's had. And then she'll find one that she likes, and that's how she orders. But I would love to go back to school for brewing. That would be cool.
Yeah.
My problem is that when you find something that you like, you tend to want to stick with it, and you end up just comparing everything to that. Mm-hmm. For me, that's not so much beer as it is bourbon. I like bourbon. I'll try different kinds, but I always come back and go, well, but it's not Knob Creek, you know, and then I'll end up coming in. Then after a while, I'll be like, I should really try some new things. And then I do, and I go, yeah, but it's not Knob Creek.
It's very cyclical in that regard.
This part of the show brought to you by Knob Creek Bourbon. Please send us free Knob Creek.
In case anybody's looking for Christmas gift ideas, you just consider yourself warned.
See, and we were going to take over this whole segment just talking about Greg's new puppy, but I guess we just started talking about beer and
we know that Maybelle is still adjusting.
My life doesn't matter. Whatever.
We know that Maybelle is still going through a period of adjustment.
Can I give you a quick update? We got to get going soon, but quick update. Last night, I decided to take a new route in trying to connect with her. I actually laid on the floor next to her. I didn't sit next to her. I laid on the floor and just put my arm out, and she explored. She gave me a kiss on the nose.
Aww.
She got scared a little bit. She's still in her nervous phase, but she opened up a little bit more, which was
that
nice.
That is exactly what I would have done, is get down. Yeah, get down lower. And so you did that. Get down, Greg. You did it. Way to get down. And on that funky note, I'll let you go. So, Luke, I'll be looking for you tomorrow sometime when I'm down there.
We'll see
Not
you when
in
you're
the
in
secondary
town.
Studio, but I'll find you. Greg, I'll be looking for a meetup with you as well somehow. We'll find an excuse.
We'll make it work.
Okay. Everybody have a great day.
Have a terrific Thursday, Pat.
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Some intimate parts need the gentle, easy trim of a Gillette trimmer. And some need the closeness and comfort of a Gillette Intimate Razor. While others need a Gillette Anti-Chafe Stick. Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get, down there. Buy now.
Halloween is over, but hiring is still a bit scary. Indeed's end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Israel's